Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.
I'm efforting, and Ty, I'll tell you this in a couple minutes, efforting a special guest to join us at 11 o'clock, almost a local hero of sorts. At 11:30, a staple of the show, Rich Kleiman, will join us. So we have plenty to get into. Baseball, maybe a step forward, still frustrating. Basketball, seemingly frustrating, and we'll get into that in just a moment. The NFL, and here's the thing. I don't know in any sport, honestly, how they're going to make it work. Like, with the way that this disease is spread, it feels a complete impossibility to have appropriate social distancing, especially in the NFL. And you heard John Harbaugh say the other day, it's impossible, guys. It is nothing short of impossible to have appropriate social distancing. You have to hope that your testing is solid and that you keep extraneous people away from any facility, and that's the way it's done. But as far as, yeah, you're going to have 90, 100, 110 people packed together in small quarters. If somebody has COVID and you're that close to them, you're putting yourself at risk. So the precautions have to be there, and it's obviously a tremendous concern. All right, a lot to do. Let's start out. 800-919-3776. We welcome your calls, your feedback. We'll probably get into Colin Kaepernick a little bit later on during the course of the show. I want to start with this, and this is just an all of a sudden story with this NBA stuff. And I want to be sensitive to it. And I want to be appropriate in my analysis of it, and I want your feedback on it as well. 800-919-3776. So I guess it was all agreed to, right? The players had seen everything that was on the table for them, and they've agreed to it. And all of a sudden, I guess in a charge led by Kyrie Irving, there's concern about coming back and playing. And it sounds like it's kind of multifaceted. It sounds like the big one is, hey, look at what this country's going through. Look at the racial injustice that's happening right now. I don't know that we want to play. I don't know that we want the focus to go from, you know, demonstrating on the streets and the conversation being what it's been to, all right, LeBron down one with 8 seconds to go. But here's the thing, and this is my take, and you can disagree, and that's fine. I think we have to find some kind of a happy medium. So it sounds like Kyrie is pushing to, you know what, guys, let's stand together in solidarity and take the rest of the season off and show that we are for racial justice and we're so opposed to racial injustice that we won't play. That's what it sounds like. And first of all, I guess my question, and I want to be sensitive to the issue, and I think I am, is of all the people to lead the charge for this, Kyrie Irving is that guy? He's not even eligible to play. He's not healthy. He can't play. So I understand him taking that tack. I think it would have a lot more credence if LeBron, and I don't think he will, but if a LeBron were to take that stance, or Giannis were to take that stance, or Chris Paul, the president of the NBAPA, would take that stance, I think you'd have a lot more credence there. Now, I guess they had a big conference call last night, and now there's real thoughts. Now, here's a quote from a Western Conference player to ESPN. I'm not as interested in him as the messenger as I am in the message, which is fair. I get it. If Kyrie Irving is the messenger, you know what? Maybe it doesn't hold water, but the message is right. But here's my take on this. And I think the NBA has been as good as any sport as far as this is concerned, allowing demonstration. Let's play the games and let's continue the conversation. You know, if you want to take a knee during the anthem before games, if you want to go arm in arm, when you start those interviews, and I'm assuming, I don't know for sure, if when you start the sideline, the Ramona Shelburne-esque sideline interviews at the end of the at the end of the half or the, you know, end of the third quarter or whatever. If you want to start that by mentioning racial injustice, I'm all for that. So I don't think that it's all of a sudden, because I know the concern is sports comes back and now everything goes by the wayside. Why? Why does that have to be? Why can't we have some kind of a happy medium? Let's make it uncomfortable. Let's have the conversation. So here's a quote that a widely respected, this is an article on ESPN.com, a widely respected NBA player told ESPN, once we start playing basketball again, all the news will turn from systemic racism to who did what in the game last night. It's a crucial time for us to be able to play and blend that and impact what's happening in our communities. We're asking ourselves, where and how can we make the biggest impact? Mental health is a part of the discussion, too, and how we handle all of that in a bubble. So I agree. Two months from now, we can't start the Dave Rothenberg Show on a Saturday morning and have it all solely, boy, Giannis is some kind of player. But there's got to be a happy medium. And maybe I'm wrong. And listen, these are not my shoes, but this is my opinion. To not play at all doesn't seem like the right thing to do. Let's play and let's have an idea and a cause and be unified together in what we're going to do. And let's continue the conversation. And I don't think, and again, it's my opinion and it's one white man's opinion and it is just that. But my thought is to not play? And this is a guy, this is what strikes me as strange, to be honest with you. And Kyrie Irving is a guy that when they had the first conference call, and he wants to be down there, which I don't know if it's necessary. I guess Nets are allotted 35 people, and if he wants to join, he's allowed. I don't know why that's necessary. He's not going to be able to play. But okay, he wants to be down there. So I guess on the first conference call, he wanted to know if he was allowed to stand and cheer for his teammates in the crowd, and also wanted to know if he's allowed to use the sauna for his own personal rehab. So we go from Kyrie, who's made strange comments in the past, is he allowed to use the sauna for his own rehab, to now maybe we shouldn't play for social injustice? I don't know. It strikes me as strange. And I think that I almost feel like you have the platform. It sounds like you're going to be the first sport back of the majors. I mean, baseball can't get their act together to save their lives. Hockey hasn't even given us a start date yet, and best case scenario, they're going to be right in that same time frame as the NBA. NBA, last I saw, was moved up a day to July 30th. So you're gonna return July 30th, and if you're probably the first sport. If not, you're right tied in there with the National Hockey League. You're telling me that with the desperation that this country has to see the return of sports, that a platform for the NBA in a bubble in Orlando would not be incredibly powerful? And the thing about it is, and the reason I really firmly feel opposed to not playing is, of any sport there is, I could almost, please don't do it, but I could almost say if the NFL and the NFL players decided, you know what, we're not heard. Our voice is never out there. We're not allowed to peacefully demonstrate the way we like. We're not playing football. Now, I don't want that to happen, and I'm sure that wouldn't happen, but I could almost understand that with the NFL players saying, we have such a platform, and we're never allowed to use it. And if we do use it, now we're basically ostracized from the game, which would happen to Colin Kaepernick. But to me, the NBA is the exact opposite. If you wanted to protest, if you wanted to be lockstep with your commissioner and the GMs and the coaches and the owners, the NBA to me would be the exact sport that would welcome that and would allow that. So you've got a platform which might be unsurpassed. I mean, can you imagine the numbers when the NBA actually returns? It'll be through the roof. You'll be so excited. I'm sure they're not playing preseason. You want a scrimmage. Watch the Nets walk through practice now. And you're going to say no? So is it a bargaining chip? Probably. Is the, you know what, we'll play, but we need to be able to protest what we want? feeling like it might be. And if that's the case, then let's have conversation with the powers of the NBA and figure out a way to play the games and still get your message across. That, to me, is the answer. 800-919-3776. We start on a Saturday. It's Rothenberg with you right here on 98.7.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.
This is typically the portion of the show where we welcome you in, but my concern is this, is that you're becoming a bigger star than I am. And at some point, the powers that be are going to say, you know, at 9 to noon on Saturdays, let's just have Ty do it, and Rothenberg can run things and can be the sidekick. So hesitantly, I'll welcome you in this morning. How are you?
I think your concerns are well-founded, Rothenberg.
Yeah.
But you have no one to blame but yourself, right?
I've created this monster, yes.
Yeah, so, I mean, you got to live with the fault of your own doing.
Yeah, I don't disagree. So I mean, I brought you in. I said hello. You didn't even not a good morning. How are you? What's going on?
I mean, welcome.
You know, the audience into the Saturday show. I mean, nothing.
I think we can skip past that. I'm more concerned about you because let me just ask you a quick question.
Uh huh.
Who's the best player on the Nets?
On the Nets?
Yes, currently.
When everyone's healthy.
When everyone's healthy.
Kevin Durant.
Who's the second best player?
Kyrie Irving.
Which is why, as a leader on the team, he should be out there in Orlando when the team is in the midst of playing playoff games.
Well, here's my thought. Yes. In normalcy, I would agree with that. We have a pandemic going on, for God's sakes. Is it safer? Let me turn the tables on you, my dear friend. Is it safer for him to be locked up at home, social distancing from wherever home is, or to be in a bubble with hundreds of people?
Well, let me ask you a question. If you are allowed 35 personnel members.
I'm not saying allowed. I'm just saying what's the smarter thing to do?
I think to have lesser
people or more?
If you're going to have 35 personnel members traveling with the team, I would imagine that it is no less safer for Kyrie Irving to be there than it is for some random, you know, assistant coach or ball boy. So if one of the leaders on your team wants to set that kind of an example and travel with them to Orlando, no, they're not going to win a championship, but next year the plan is for them to be one of the top contenders, right? I think that makes more sense. Durant should be out there too.
I think in this day and age, with everything going on, your number one thing has to be safety. And my question would be, is it safer for Kyrie Irving to be there using the sauna and the massage table like he questioned 10 days ago, or is it safer for him to be at home rehabbing there?
He has to rehab though, right? Like, so instead of him using the word sauna, if he would have just said, am I allowed facilities to rehab? You would have had no issue with that, right? It's just the word sauna that you're questioning.
I don't know. No, I mean, I just think, here's my take. And 35 seems like an awful, it feels like, and maybe I'm just not doing the math properly. 35 seems like a lot. It seems like a lot. I mean, how many players are on a team? You're going to be able to take, what, 17? Is that the new number?
Yes, 17.
And how many coaches do you need? And trainers and all of that? Six?
Who knows?
Seven? So it feels to me like that range of 24, and now we're talking about 35?
Yeah, I mean, who knows? But
listen, that's a big difference, isn't it?
It is.
So I'd feel much more comfortable if it was 24 than if it was 35, is all I'm saying.
Okay, but I think that if he wants to be there to support his team, and he's given the okay that it is going to be as safe as possible.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. I just have my own lunacy has an issue with adding more people than are absolutely necessary. That's it. I don't have a problem with that, though. I don't have a huge problem with that.
You're just more concerned about the sauna and
it strikes me as strange that last week they have this call and he's wondering, can I use the sauna for my own rehab? And now last night's call with 80 or 100 NBA players, the question is, do we play because of racial injustice? It feels like a very wide spectrum to me.
But I think the concern is because one of the reasons why we've been able to make such tremendous progress in the country is because people were forced to watch the videos. People were forced to have these conversations because you can't hide behind, well, Aaron Judge went 0 for 5 last night. Let's break that down for 3 hours.
I agree with you. I 100% agree with you. But there's no, and maybe they're not. I mean, I'm posing the question. You guys are welcome to chime in at 800-919-3776. There's no middle ground of, you know what, guys? We have arranged it before the start of every game. We show 45 seconds of the George Floyd video, or to start the game, the anthem, that we're all in unison taking a knee, or that as we go to halftime, we do something, or let every conversation of the sideline discussion interview at the end of a quarter or a half leading into something, that's the thing we mentioned. Like, there's no middle ground here at all?
Maybe there is, but from, you know, based on what we were reading last night, be it on Twitter or, you know, articles, it was just they want to be as unified as possible. This includes WNBA players, coaches, you know, high ranking officials, like everyone wants to be unified, because what we don't want is for that to become a distraction and you're the reason why it becomes a distraction, where we're no longer making progress.
I agree. But I think there's got so let me ask you this. If they don't play at all, does that help the cause?
No. So, Dave, here's the thing. They are going to play because they realize that there are so many financial ramifications of them not playing. Like, you have this now clause in the CBA where they can rip it up, and the last thing you want to do is negotiate during a pandemic. So the players would be losing so much money, and it would affect the future of the league going forward. They're going to play. I just think that this was a conversation that needed to be had because we're seven weeks away from them, you know, resuming action in Orlando.
Yeah, we're a month and a half away.
They're going to play, though.
July 30th, and today's what, June 13th?
Yes. And so July 9th.
We're 47 days away.
July 9th is when they report for training. You know?
Right, between the 9th and the 11th, correct?
They're going to play. I don't think you should be concerned about this. This season is going to happen. A champion will be crowned. Assuming there's no outbreak. You know, we can't account for
it. Which is a completely different conversation.
That's different. But if everything goes accordingly as far as the health is concerned, I think they'll play.
Okay. 800-919-3776. Let's get to some calls. We'll get into Major League Baseball on that conversation. That's a disaster. I mean, it's unbelievable how tone deaf this sport is. So the owners with their latest proposal, 72 games, 80% prorated, and this is something the players are going to be completely dug in on. We want 100%. So that's not, and we have to have answers now. I mean, to play 60 games of baseball, you got to start by what? You have to start by August 1. August 1 seems like if you don't get this done tomorrow, you're in big trouble. Let's go here. 800-919-3776. Let's go to JT in Tuckahoe. JT, you're on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good. What's up, JT?
Yeah, it's JP, but that's fine. P isn't Pierre.
JP. Okay. All right. Like JPP.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah, exactly. Who's Haitian? And I'm also Haitian as well.
How about that?
But yeah, no. You know, I wanted to say I really appreciate the thoughtful, you know, kind of comments you made earlier about, hey, is there like some middle ground? Do they need to kind of not – the NBA players need to not play? I'm a history teacher, and the comment I just wanted to make was that I think often, too, though, when you want to impact change, it has to be uncomfortable. And frankly, like, I think, and I'm not like some revolutionary, I'm not like, let's go down and burn down the streets and do this stuff. But in reality, I think that right now, because there's so much focus, like, it would be the impact and the inconvenience of, say, the NBA season not getting kicked off again, not finishing off the season, because for this reason, I think would be way more impactful than like in any other time. And I appreciate your point that you said about, hey, actually, if any of the four major sports leagues, the NBA probably has the best relationship with the players, et cetera. And that's
absolutely
probably true, you know. And I will tell you as well, I grew up in Boston, so I'm not in love with Kyrie Irving. And sometimes the messenger is a flawed messenger, right? You know, and some of the reason I don't love him is mostly because of, you know, how it seemed like he made the team worse, the Celtics. You know, we were better off.
Yeah, I understand. He's an interesting character. Like, and maybe I'm wrong. Thanks for the call. You bring up a lot of really solid points. My take is this. Is this the messenger you want? But you're right. He could be a flawed messenger, and he would be a flawed messenger. I would think that if it was LeBron, I would think that if it was Chris Paul, I would think that if it was Giannis, it would have a little more weight. And again, I'm not for a second saying let's not play. I'm saying let's play and let's figure out a way that we can continue to preach the message. Emmanuel in Flushing. Emmanuel, you're next up on 98.7.
Hey, Dave. How y'all doing? How you
What's
doing?
What's up, Emmanuel? How you doing, bud?
I'm good, man. I think I understand where Kyrie's coming from because we're playing at a time where America is in a crisis, particularly in racial inequality. And I don't blame Kyrie for voicing his opinion. But
can't you almost say, though, Emmanuel, knowing what we know now, knowing how things have been, that we've always been in kind of a crisis mode?
Of course. I mean, there are numbers of them. I can't even don't want to get me started with that. But I think that he may not be the only one he's voicing out, but there are some other players. But I think he's the only one who's voicing out because he is the vice president of the NBA. But I think he does it at a time where he's still rehabbing his knee. And I think it's going to be, as you have critics out there saying, why is he talking? Let LeBron speak because we all know LeBron is a better leader than Kyrie and all that stuff. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean, I've said it multiple times that I think it would be a better look if it was LeBron. But I think, I don't know that LeBron would take this tact. I think that LeBron would be very pro moving forward, playing the games and having statements and protests and discussing injustice as the games went on.
Exactly. I mean, if he said what Kyrie said, people want to have a problem. People would understand, even though they'll disagree with it. But they would respect LeBron because of how.
Yeah, I think we had a caller, JP, and thanks for the call, Emmanuel. We had a caller moments ago say sometimes the messenger is flawed, and the message can still make sense. And I think it's a good point. Yes, you may not want to hear it from Kyrie, but it doesn't mean that Kyrie is not worthy of the stage of having that discussion. 800-919-3776. Spike in Jersey. Spike, you're next up on 98.7.
Good morning, my friend. I hope all is well. You know, when I called you and Rick and Chris on Monday, you said to me, you sound very sad today. Remember?
Yes, I do remember that. Highlight of my week, by the way, Spike, talking to you on Monday.
Well, thanks. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
And I'm still very sad. And with what happened last night with Kyrie Irving, here's the way I feel about everything. And you know me pretty well. I think our relationship is well stated. I feel that we're fighting two wars now, one on social injustice that we've been fighting. I'll be 74, so I know it's hundreds of years. And the other with COVID-19. And I love sports as much as anybody. And to me, the way to fix this whole thing is maybe the message is not Kyrie Irving, maybe it's LeBron James. I don't know. I don't care how the message is shouted out. But I would give up all my sports, and I'm on the back nine, that's for sure, to solve both of these problems, the social inequities and injustices and the COVID-19. Now, one begets a problem with another. Unfortunately, the protests, which I'm 100% behind, as you know, are affected by the COVID-19.
Right, it's not safe, of course.
Yeah. So it's like you have Alex and Ben come to you. I know there's a lot of kidding going on, and I've been more serious lately. You suspected that, and that's fine. And you say they kid you, well, you like this one better than the other. Of course, you don't like one kid better than the other. I don't like either problem better than the other. They both stink. And I'm banging my old head around trying to figure this out. And I will say it again and listen to your program and enjoy everything about everybody on the program and station. I don't know how you solve these problems simultaneously, but you know what it is? Sometimes you wake up, you get outside, you look at today, it's as gorgeous as the day gets. But even on a rainy, crappy day, the problem's not going away. So we got to put our heads together and fix both of these problems at the same time. Easy, it's not.
No.
You know that easy button?
One of these problems, I mean, and thanks to the call, Spike. I mean, racial injustice has been going on forever. But let me ask you this question, Ty. If and I know you say that they're going to play. If they don't play, is it a stronger message than if they do play with a strong message every single day in every single game?
No, because I think that if you are someone like a LeBron or a Durant, that high quality, that marquee of a star, you don't really need the NBA platform to disseminate any message. LeBron the other day just talked about, and not to get into politics, but there was a lot going on in Georgia and the voting system. He tweeted about it, and then immediately the next day we saw some type of change, some type of fix. So if you're
to me, that's what we need.
So my point is, like, if you are someone of that caliber, and it's only a select few, right? Like, there are two or three guys, or maybe 3 to 5 guys who are like that. Then you don't need the NBA platform. But if you're a lesser star, then yes, you can benefit from that. So if we can have however many players, you know, in Orlando all having this type of message and doing it in cohesion, I think that would be more effective than not playing the season.
All right, so it feels like you and I are on a similar page. 800-919-3776. We continue the conversation on the NBA. Jamal Adams, it does not go away. And here's the truth, guys. It will not go away.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.
It'll only get better, but I don't know that it gets better than this next segment, to be honest with you, Ty.
I think that the conversation was so strong about the NBA, we should just go back to that. What do you think?
You know what's obvious here? You're dreading this. Because you were one of the many, actually, that you stood in your ivory tower and you looked down on the Houston Astros and the Boston Red Sox, and the names Beltran and Cora were uttered from your lips, and maybe you shouldn't have, my friend. Maybe you shouldn't have. NJ.com. You familiar with that outfit?
Not really.
Yeah.
I'm going to be honest. I don't know how much I trust it.
All right. So, and I apologize, and I read his work all the time. I think it's pronounced Cootie. Is it Cootie or Cutie? I don't know. Brendan, K-U-T-Y.
You should just call him Cutie.
Cutie? I think it's probably Cutie.
Yes. Yeah, so
it's a nice name anyhow.
Just call it. Just
as an article.
Just forget the first name and call him Cutie.
Cutie. Yeah. I gotta read you. I don't know that I'm going to read the whole thing. Stop when you feel like I've done enough, though. And Yankees fans and baseball fans, I'd like to hear from all of you. And if this is true, this is bad. Here's the article.
All right, I think you've done enough.
Yeah. A federal judge on Friday, that'd be just yesterday, Ty, said he would unseal a letter that allegedly shows that the Yankees engaged in a, quote, more serious sign-stealing scheme than Major League Baseball revealed publicly in 2017. But the Yankees want the letter to remain secret, but because it would cause significant damage to the team's reputation. The judge defused that part of the Bombers' argument. Embarrassment on the part of MLB or the Yankees about the precise contents of the letter is not particularly weighty. Oh, this is rich. Ty, should we go on, no?
No, you know, so I think we should actually talk about how good, I've got a gem for Steve Rothenberg today, by the way.
You're, okay, we gotta get to this now. I could read more. Let me just scan. The Yankees asked to delay the unsealing of the letter until next Friday so the team could file an emergency appeal to the Second Circuit Court. You see what's happening here. The Yankees are desperate. The Yankees are backtracking. I'd like to hear from all the Yankees fans that said at the time when the Astros were going through what they were going through, we would never do something like that.
Don't compare this to banging garbage cans.
We're the Yankees,
and putting,
for God's sake,
cameras in the center field seats.
It almost feels, Ty, like this would be the time that you probably shouldn't be screaming, that you probably should be somewhat quiet.
Can we allow the investigation to run its course before we start?
Of course. And I'm having a little bit of fun. And of course. But come on. I mean, let's be fair. Yankees are looking to do anything they can to avoid this becoming public. Why do you think that is?
Well, because you don't want the public perception to be, you know, taken at, like, you don't want that to be kidnapped. You want to get to the bottom of this and see what this is all about first before everyone gets a hold of it.
It's bad. It's not good. Oh, just goes on and on and on. You can read it for yourself, NJ.com.
You're excited about this. I hear it in your voice.
Well, you know what is interesting to me is that the Yankees fan was so just, oh. I mean, we would never, ever do something like that. We're the Yankees. We sit here in our ivory tower and we're better than everybody else, and the Astros cheated and, you know, strike that World Series from the record, and we were rooked out of winning a title multiple times by the Astros. Well, maybe not.
Except you were, because everyone.
Maybe not.
Except
maybe
you
not my not
were.
So fast, Ty.
We saw the Astros got caught cheating. They were banging garbage cans. There were cameras in the center field seats.
Well, it sounds like we're on the verge of finding out some things that the Yankees might have done
okay,
that they've tried to bury. And you know what will be sick and twisted is if MLB was right in there with them and they intentionally pushed this to the side so the Yankees wouldn't be part of this?
Oh, man.
Come on.
Conspiracy theories galore.
Oh, you are amazing.
What will happen is...
You really are.
We will now get a chance to power rank, if you will, the cheating scandals. And if this becomes a huge deal, we'll be able to see which one was worse. Right? The Astros clearly were caught cheating. It led to firings and suspensions.
Yes.
And
bannings, firings. Yes. Loss of traffic.
By the
all
way,
of that.
How badly do you feel for the Astros? All those draft picks.
I'm going to ask you a serious question. We're going to open it up to all the Yankees fans out there at 800-919-3776, who probably won't call. Because why would you call when your team potentially is going to have their hand up in the cookie? But here's my question to you. And I'm being serious when I ask you. Would you rather this just goes away, or would you like to know what actually, if anything happened from the Yankees?
So I'm not going to sit here and pretend there is some, like, moral high ground when it comes to rooting for my sports teams. I will actually like to see what happened, though. Just for my own, like, just to know, like, what went down in 2017. I want to see what happened. I hope we get all the information. Yes.
You know, it's been curious that the Yankees have been so benign with some of their reaction. Because outside of, and correct me if I'm wrong, CeCe, who was, you know, furious the entire way through. The Yankees have, for a team that really, in essence, you could say was cheated potentially out of winning a World Series, they have not been angry to the point that maybe you thought they should have been.
To a lesser extent, ironically, Aaron Judge, remember he posted that picture on his Instagram.
Yes.
Calling out the Astros.
But
for the most part,
if I was cheated out of a championship, I think I'd be, I mean, you'd hear from me forever. I'd be Jamal Adams asking in my outrage.
I was just going to say, are you on every Instagram post commenting on it? I don't know. I hope
you're not happy about this.
I'm not happy.
When you saw this story, you became very, very upset.
I was annoyed because, first of all, the Astros, what's going to annoy me even more is that the Astros aren't really going to feel the brunt of any of the punishment because we might get a 48-game baseball season, no fans in the stands, so they won't really be punished. And then we get to next year, and let's just say this becomes a big deal. Now the Yankees are right on equal footing with the Astros. Nothing about that feels right.
Maybe we'll read the rest of the article in moments. NJ.com, we'll get to the bottom of this as much as we can in moments. And honestly, I'd like to hear from the Yankees fan. I mean, are you going to come down on your team if your hand is, in fact, in the cookie jar right alongside the Houston Astros? Do you put your hand in the cookie jar and feel to the side and, oh, there's another hand in there? There's Carlos Beltran's hand. Oh, there's Alex Cora. Oh, there are many hands in there.
By the way, Dave.
Yeah.
You know what's really sad about this?
What?
The Astros cheated. Who won the World Series that year?
Astros.
The Red Sox cheated. Who won the World Series that year?
Red Sox.
So this is saying the Yankees cheated in 2017?
Yeah, they don't cheat as well.
they didn't reap the benefits of any of the cheating.
Well, I wouldn't say they didn't get the benefits. They went to Game 7 of the ALCS.
Yeah, but we're about winning championships. If you're going to cheat and don't win, then come on, what are we doing here?
Did I tell you what a kid he is, Alex, 9 years old. Did I tell you what he said the other day? What did
he say?
I've never been prouder of him. So he's 9 years old.
He said, Dad, you're gaining weight.
No, he said, Dad, have I told you lately what kind of a dad? You're the best dad a boy could ever want. And after that, he said, we're in the middle of having a lacrosse catch. And he goes, Dad, you know what I just thought of? I said, what's up, buddy? The Yankees haven't even been to the World Series in my lifetime. I said, yeah, you're right. They haven't. How about that? You know why? Cheating never pays, Ty. Cheating never pays.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com. He's pompous.
Listen, shut up and I'll tell you the story.
He's arrogant.
Do you think there's a lot of things out there that I wouldn't be good at?
And sometimes he's downright mean.
I know you know what that's like, to be that uncomfortable, pimply face, not very popular kid.
But now it's your chance to prove him wrong.
It's dumb.
Call 800-919-3776 with your question and let's stump Dave Rothenberg.
Yeah, you can try. I mean, odds of success are clearly less than 50%. Stump Rothenberg brought to you by the law offices of the great Andrew M. Cohen. All right, Ty. I mean, we've been scalding hot over the last month. Would you agree with that?
We have. I want to say it's like 32-11.
I mean, that's a winning percentage that's almost unmatched in any sport.
You can't ask for more.
No. I mean, 32-11, you're looking at 64-22.
Got to do well today. I hope we get a bunch of Yankees calls.
That'd be great.
Out for blood.
Good.
Because of what you've done today.
And again, and just to confirm, when the question is asked, if I don't feel confident. Now, we have multiple levels of defense here.
Yes.
We have the Kyrie level, which really, in essence, should be the biggest level. Where you give him the question, he screens it, he makes sure it passes muster, and then he sends you on.
Sometimes they call audible. Sometimes they call an audible.
Which is not on him.
They recognize how brilliant you are, and they just say, we got
to
change the
question. Don't play to me like that. Don't pander to me. And then I pick them up. And if it's the question that they've gone with, or a question outside the box, and I'm unhappy with it, I will turn to you and say, is this a legitimate question? And I think I'm fair in me turning to you. Would you agree with that?
Yes, and I think I'm fair in my judgment of the question.
I think you're more fair than I even anticipated you would be. Like, I thought you'd enjoy leaving me out to dry, and it doesn't feel like that. It feels like you are clearly on my side. So, let's go. Are you ready to roll?
Let's do it.
Let's go to Mike in Farmingdale. Mike, lead us off. Stump Rothenberg.
Dave, what's going on, man?
What's up, Mike?
All right, so I'm going with my backup question because we decided that my first question wasn't fair.
Okay.
So this question is on Gilligan's Island.
Okay.
What was the skipper's name?
All right, so the skipper, I thought it was like Jonas. Is it Jonas Grumby?
Is that your final answer?
Yes.
Because what happened, I potted him down. He answered your question, but I wanted to make sure that was your final answer.
Yeah, it's Jonas Grumby.
Correct.
Yeah. Look, give me the ding. Thank you for that. Now, I'm going to tell you how I knew that. Because I didn't know it growing up, and I was a big fan of Gilligan's Island. But I used to work with a guy in television when we were producing sports TV years and years and years ago who was obsessed with Gilligan's Island and one day asked me the skipper's name, and I did not know. And he said, I always got confused with Jonas Quimby or Jonas Grumby, but it's Grumby, and I have put that in my mental Rolodex from 20 years ago, and that's where we are today. So that would be
1-0.
If my calculations are correct, 1-0. Yes?
Correct.
Deep breath, and we get back to it. Let's go to Sam in Brooklyn. Sam, you're on Stump Rothenberg.
Hey, Dave. How you doing?
Good, Sam. How are you?
Doing okay.
You love this segment, don't you?
Right now, so
is it fair to say, Sam, that you love this segment?
I love the segment so much. I make sure I'm up for it. I have an alarm set just to make sure that I'm here for it.
If there was a board game, would you buy it?
I would buy the board game. Well, I'm obsessed with board games too, so absolutely.
All right.
There should be.
Go ahead, Sam. What do you got?
Alrighty, well, it's literature.
Oh, I don't know it. You win.
No, it has a movie twist.
Oh, I might have a chance.
Hold on, calm down, Ty. Alright, the movie The Outsiders is based on a book that was written by a 16-year-old female author. Who's the author?
I believe it's Essie Hinton?
You got it.
Yeah. There we go. I mean, 2-0. Ty, have you seen The Outsiders?
Yes, and it's effortless. The 2-0 is effortless.
If you look at the cast of The Outsiders, and I say this completely genuine, It could be the greatest cast for one movie in the history of cinema.
No arguments on my end.
I mean, it's Patrick Swayze, Tom Cruise, C. Thomas Howell, Rob Lowe, Emilio Estevez. I mean, it just on and on and on. Ralph Macchio, on and on and on. 2-0, Anthony Bayonne. Anthony, you're on Stump Rothenberg.
Hey, what's up, Dave?
What's up, Anthony? Where are you going here?
What? I'm going baseball.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
What two-time All-Star and 86 Met was actually selected as a pitcher by the Yankees in 1978?
86 Met selected by the Yankees as a pitcher in 1978?
Yep.
All right. So you're telling me, I mean, you don't have to answer this, but you're telling me he was not a pitcher, because you wouldn't say he was selected by the Yankees as a pitcher. I don't know it off the top of my head. 86 Met, selected by the Yankees as a pitcher in 1978. I don't know it, so this will be a guess. And my guess will be, see, it can't be Strawberry because he was drafted later. Can't be Carter. I wonder if it's a lesser player. I'm not going to get this right. I'm going to guess Ray Knight.
Nah, wrong. Howard Johnson.
That's a nice question. It's not a bad question. 2-1. It's fine. You took great solace in playing the buzzer, by the way. All right. Deep breath. Let's go. This is my guy, Hector in Puerto Rico. Hector, you're on Stump Rothenberg.
Hey, Dave. Always a pleasure to hear
you. How you hanging in there, Hector?
Today.
You okay?
Yeah, we're doing okay. Hey, the governor, she has lifted up the lockdown starting next week. People can go out at least 10 o'clock at night, still until 5 o'clock in the morning. Now you can go to the beach. The restaurant's going to be open.
You guys have
you
some
can
beautiful
have a couple
beaches.
Of beers.
Hector, be safe, man, okay?
Oh, of course, of course. That's right. Hey, and what about you and your family? Doing okay?
We're doing okay. Yeah, we're hanging in best we can. Yep.
All right. Okay, hey, here's my
question.
Where
are you going here? What's your category?
MLB, baseball. Mm-hmm. Pete Rose. He broke Ty Cobb's record in Cincinnati against the San Diego Padres. A single to left field. Who was the left fielder's name?
The left fielder's name? Oh, God. I thought you were going to ask it, and I think the pitcher was Eric Schau, wasn't it?
Eric Schau, that is correct.
Yeah.
That's correct. That's right. Yeah. But, you know, hey, if I'm from Puerto Rico, so the possibility that the left fielder is a Puerto Rican.
Oh.
That's my only hint.
Oh, I don't know who it is now. So I was thinking Gwynn was a right fielder. I was so excited, Ty, because I thought he was going to go, who was the pitcher, and I know that.
No, of course, that's easy.
Well, I your question is very difficult.
No, it's not so difficult. There's so many reruns of that.
I don't think I know it.
He's from Puerto Rico.
You've said that, okay. But that doesn't do me any good. I mean, a Padre who was from Puerto Rico in the early 80s. I don't even think I'm going to venture a guess here.
His first name, he has the same first name as a basketball player that played for the Knicks.
Yeah, but I can't take this now. You're babying me along. I'm going to just say gentlemanly that I don't know the answer.
All right, it's Carmelo Martinez.
Okay. All right. I liked Hector until moments ago, by the way.
I love the integrity there.
What?
I love the integrity. He was trying to baby you to get you to the answer.
Well, I didn't want that.
I respect it.
I want to stand on my own.
2-2, my friend.
2-2. All right. First two, beautiful. Second two, not so. Let's go to Daniel in Rockville Center. Daniel, you're next up on Stump Rothenberg.
Hi, Dave.
Hey, Daniel.
I have a question about college football.
Okay. How old are you? Be honest.
16.
16, love it. Go ahead.
Who is the most recent college football team to win 3 national championships in the span of 4 years?
So, 3 and 4 years. Now, is this when we've had the new era of the playoff?
No, it's been like all time since they started counting national championships.
So we could go back years and years then.
Yeah.
So Alabama has I think, didn't Alabama do it? Because I think that Alabama and Auburn won 4 consecutively. And Cam Newton won it in 2010, and I believe Alabama won it around that. I'm going to say Alabama.
That's right.
That is right. Ty, you see what we've done, though? We reached out to the youth. We have people that call well into their 80s for this segment.
There is no such thing as a demographic when it comes to this show.
No.
We've got the
youth. We break all stereotypes. We are... I don't want to toot our own horn that much, but really.
We reach Puerto Rico. I love Hector.
What
a guy.
We reach into the female demographic.
Oh, yes.
We reach internet. Is Puerto Rico considered international?
No, it's not. It's a part of the United States.
But it's like not a state. It's like in addition to the United States.
It's a commonwealth. But Sam in Brooklyn, she's a huge fan. I love the idea of a board game.
I don't know how we would do a board game.
Dave Rothenberg.
You know what I would do? I would go out on location and do this.
For 3 hours?
Not now, obviously.
For 3 hours wearing a mask?
No, not now. Not pandemic Stump Rothenberg, but I would. You don't think that the station could sell that?
Or you can, you know what we can do? Like, you know how during Christmas you have like Santa Claus posted up in a mall and kids get to sit on his lap, which has always been weird, but that's a conversation for a different day. So we could just have you posted up in a mall and then random people could just come by and ask you questions all day long.
Could. We could do that. We could have me, for a small fee, of course, have me call into a get-together and play trivia host.
I don't think the fee is necessary.
Well, I'd like to try to supplement things a little bit if I could.
As long as I'm in on the whatever they're selling.
You'd be my hype man.
All right, so yes.
3-2, Albert, New Jersey. Albert, you're next up on Stump Rothenberg.
Good morning, guys. How's everyone doing?
What's going on, Albert?
So I just had a...
Where are we going? What's our topic?
Well, it's a name.
A name?
Okay. It's a football player's name. I'm trying to see if you know what Bo Jackson's real first name is.
Well, I don't hear you. What's the question?
What's Bo Jackson's real first name?
Oh, that would be Vincent Edward Jackson.
Wow. Awesome. Good job.
Nice. I love the nickname questions as well. What's Muggsy Bogues' nickname?
What's the French Dust? Oh, you asking me?
Yeah,
didn't we do this a couple weeks ago?
I'm doing it again. See if you remember.
Oh, I don't remember. It's
Tyrone.
Like, yeah, I should have.
Bud Webb's nickname.
I don't remember.
Anthony.
How about the French Dutchman?
The French Dutchman. What do you mean? I don't understand this question. You don't even understand what you're asking me. You're dragging us down. We're 4-2. When you get your question together, come back to me. 800-919-3776. We'll take one more, and then we'll break. And like we've done during this pandemic, we will ride out the rest of the hour with that. And then a local kid made really good this week. We'll get to that at 11 o'clock as well. Let's go to Jake. It just says Port, so it could be Port Jefferson, Port Washington, but somewhere. Jake, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, Dave, how are you?
Where are you calling from?
Port Jefferson.
Port Jefferson. All right. So I'm 4-2. Where are you going here?
We're going football.
Okay, I like football.
All right, so only 2 players in the history of the NFL have won the Defensive Player of the Year award 3 times. One of them is your favorite, Lawrence Taylor. Who is the other?
So have won 2 players in the NFL have won... Defensive Player of the Year, voted by who? Who by the NFL?
They were just awarded the award.
I know there's different awards. All right, I think J.J. Watt is the other.
Is that
J.J. Watt? What?
That is correct.
Ty? That's 5-2. So Lawrence Taylor, and this is amazing, and you might not know this, and I'm here to impart knowledge for everyone, was the MVP of the entire NFL in 1986.
Yes, I do know that.
You knew that?
Yes.
You say it like that, that's just such common knowledge. I don't think that's common knowledge.
I think it is.
Can I bring this to you, and this just to upset you, if nothing more?
It can't be anything about the Yankees or
it's not about the Yankees. So I'm 5-2. Let me just give this to you. I'm watching SportsCenter, obviously, and they have the odds to win the AFC East: Buffalo +105, New England +145, Miami +700, and the Jets +800.
I'd be all over the Jets.
Yeah, big time.
Breakout season for Sam Darnold, baby.
I like Sam Darnold. I agree with you. I think he's gonna be a terrific quarterback. All right, quick break. Come back. Put a finish to you guys. We're 5-2. Ty, you have a what coming up in just moments?
An absolute gem, an all-encompassing sports gem.
They always are. More Stump Rothenberg. The live game, not the board game, not the traveling game, the live radio version on 98.7 ESPN.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.
All right, we're back. Rothenberg with you, 98.7 ESPN. Ty, you got me? You hear me? We good?
I got you.
All right, so we're back. We're going to do a quick little finishing up to Stump Rothenberg. And then and all I can say is a local kid that has made so good this week, which is a story I wanted to bring on air, and then we'll have Rich Kleiman at 11:30. Where are we now, Ty? 5-2, is that correct?
We're 5-2.
5-2. All right. Deep breath. Would you like to start this this next little baby segment here?
All right, let's do it. So we talked about Moses Malone.
Yeah.
Last week. He was the MVP for the second straight year in 82-83, but he was the only player in NBA history to do it back-to-back for two different teams. Now, that's a feat that's only happened one other time in the four major sports.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell me who that player was and the sport he did it in? Obviously, if you say the player, you'll know the sport he did it in.
So, MVP, back-to-back years, two different teams.
Correct.
I got to be honest, this is a good question. This is a really good question.
Might be the best one I've ever asked, right?
Oh, this really is a nice question. So it's obviously not going to be NBA. I'm thinking Barry Bonds, maybe. This really is something else. I can't envision it's going to be NFL. Could it be NFL? Could be Gretzky? All right, you know what? I'm going to say Wayne Gretzky. Final answer.
Ah, Dave. You almost had it, man. It was Barry Bonds.
Ah!
In 92, he won the MVP for the Pirates. In 93, he did so for the Giants.
I'm not looking for full credit. Do I get at least a modicum of nice job?
No, you get 5-3.
5-3.
And we can only do one more question.
One more. Let's go Paul in Bay Ridge. Paul, you're next up and potentially last one.
What's up, Dave?
What's up, Paul?
Last week I had a Seinfeld question for you, and we had to rephrase it, and it came out a little bit too easy, so it's going to be Seinfeld again, but a little bit more challenging.
Okay.
So, in the episode The Briss, Elaine hires the crazy Moyle. What career choice did the Moyle say he should have been instead of a Moyle?
I don't really know. Ty, I'm gonna turn to you, and I'm gonna say, I don't love the question.
I agree. Andy's got a bad phone line. They've got to get rid of that.
All right, we don't want to end like that. Let's go to Steve in Brooklyn. Steve, you're next up on Stump Rothenberg.
Baseball, Dave.
Okay.
In the decade between 2000 and 2009, only two pitchers recorded 2,000 strikeouts. One is Randy Johnson. Who is the other?
All right. Most strikeouts in the 2000 decade.
So Randy's one of two.
Yeah, no, I got you.
2,000 strikeouts, yep.
It's not going to be Pedro. I'm thinking Javi Vasquez, but I don't think that's right. Johan Santana comes to mind. CC comes to mind. I don't think Pedro's that guy. Clemens is not going to be that. I think I've heard Javi Vasquez, but I think I could be wrong. I'm going to guess that.
2001 strikeouts for the decade, Javi Vasquez. End the show, Dave.
Ah, oh, Ty. I mean, do you see how we finished?
That's gutty. That's a gutsy performance by
that. That's a pull. That's deep into the soul pull for 6-3 and another successful, mightily successful edition of your favorite segment known as
Stump Rothenberg.
Stump Rothenberg. Stump Rothenberg brought to you by the law offices of one Andrew M. Cohen. Whether the issue is simple or complex, the law office of the great Andrew M. Cohen can help you achieve your needs through very careful but also very deliberate legal planning. Call 516-877-0595 or visit amcohenlaw.com. Ty, is it fair to say we are in very difficult times right now?
It is very fair to say that.
I think it is.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.